This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee issuing a subpoena now for the full unredacted Mueller report on the Russia investigation. Jerry Nadler says there are numerous unanswered questions despite the reports released to the public yesterday.
The report makes clear that the president refused to be interviewed by the special counsel and refused to provide written answers to follow-up questions.
Meanwhile, the president's begun the morning on Twitter slamming the report, writing in part that it was, quote, an illegally started hoax that never should have happened. Former Vice President Joe Biden may be just a few days away from announcing his campaign for the White House. A report in The Atlantic quotes sources close to Biden as saying he'll make a video announcement of his run next Wednesday. The 76-year-old would be joining 19 other candidates for the Democratic nomination. And this is USA Radio News.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
The best sleep of my life has been since I got a MyPillow and since I got my Giza Dream sheets. I have to tell you, I've slept in some great hotels in my time, but nothing like these Giza Dreams sheets. Now go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special, you'll find out all about them, and use my promo code USA to get 30% off and free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dreams sheets special, use my promo code USA.
Another round of severe weather is threatening about 100 million Americans today. There could be tornadoes in Alabama and Mississippi in particular. Two people died in Mississippi from storms on Thursday. The system moving east through Georgia, the Carolinas, and up into the Mid-Atlantic as well. Investigators say it could take weeks to determine what caused the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, but they do believe an electrical short circuit might be to blame. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell introducing new legislation that would raise the national smoking age to 21.
So by raising the age that you could legally purchase to 21, tobacco won't be in most high schools, presenting fewer opportunities for children to get their hands on vaping devices.
He plans on introducing the legislation next month. Today marks the 24th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing that killed 168 people and injured over 800. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
Kate Smith's version of God Bless America is now out at New York Yankees games this year. The team has been playing that 1939 version of the Irving Berlin Classic ever since the 9/11 attacks in 2001. It went to a different version this year after the team became aware that Smith also sang some racist songs. Churches and synagogues might not be as full as you might expect for Easter and Passover celebrations, as Gallup is finding the percentage of Americans who say they belong to a church, a synagogue, or a mosque is at an all-time low. Research showing just half of Americans reported being members last year. From 1937 through 1976, church membership was at 70% or higher. Membership dipped just a couple of percentage points in the late 70s through the 90s, but since 1999, there's been a drop-off of 20%. And dozens of national landmarks are going to light up orange to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Easter seals on Monday, April 22nd. This day after Easter that's coming up will mark the organization's centennial. And to honor the occasion, the Empire State Building, Niagara Falls, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and other landmarks will all be aglow in orange. Philadelphia's Ben Franklin Bridge and the Honolulu Aloha Tower are a few more of them. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes and the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley and showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that
sound? You know, sometimes it's okay to hit the pause button, ladies and gentlemen, because sometimes, you know, it gets out of control, you know. You got to, as my old friend would say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And there are some on, interestingly enough, I mean, this is the fun part about politics. I mean, you can be entertained to no end. As long as you keep it in that realm, if you take it too seriously, then your head will explode like the rest of them. So, hey, just relax. It's Easter just around the corner here on this a Good Friday at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. With us right now, Adam Brandon, the president and CEO of Freedom Works. Adam, always good to be talking to you. How are you?
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
Hey, before we talk about the wealthy paying their fair share, which Bernie Sanders still has trouble deciding what that fair share is, I wanted to get your response, speaking of which, you know, of course, the Mueller report. You knew I was going to ask you about that.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, if I'm going to be 100% objective, it's like if you're a conservative, it's just a bunch of hogwash. If you're a Democrat, it's giving you all the evidence you need that Trump interfered and he can be impeached. But when I look at this, I look at it as much ado about nothing for the most part. There's some unsavory things that are in the Mueller report, but you know, I kind of grade Donald Trump on a curve because things that he did, especially when he entered the White House, things that he would do in the private sector that are perfectly legal, you get to government and those same things are not considered legal anymore. There's a lot of strange campaign law and this and that doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's very easy for someone who's not well versed in how politics in the swamp works to step in some landmines here or there. But no, even there, you look through it. He may have a hot temper, and he may have some quick judgments at times, but nothing even, I think that we could safely put this behind us.
Yeah, hopefully, although we've got to get through the process of, okay, now that this information is out, as we were talking with John Guandolo, former FBI agent earlier, Adam, I mean, you know, terms like, and they've been batted about for quite a while, even Jerome Corsi talking about this being a coup and sedition and treason. I mean, these are really very powerful words and considerations, and if we're going to be genuine, I mean, because you hear even from both sides, if anything is bipartisan, they all say, hey, we want to make sure this doesn't happen again. Well, if we're really sincere about it not happening again, then we really have to open the body wide open and really take a look at the cancer to see how deep this is. I mean, you know, Trump has identified it as the deep state, a shadowy government of unelected bureaucrats that have been running the country and pulling the levers of our country for a long time. And, you know, like him or not, you know, Donald Trump has been an exposing agent of this. Now, so now that we know, what are we going to do about it?
Well, I always said that when you look at Donald Trump, when history looks back on him, I think what you're going to look is that he's a bowling ball that ran right through the middle of Washington, D.C. But it's going to be very interesting to see what we do with this as a nation. Do we try and go back to the old ways of a Republican and Democratic Party that are pretty much the same and in the swamp and the deep state control both parties? Or are we going to use this as an opportunity to kind of start breaking some of these connections? That's a generation from now to understand which way that we ended up going. But the deep state is real. I feel so sorry for a lot of these cabinet officials that joined with Trump because they have their job and then maybe one or two deputies and then thousands and thousands and thousands of bureaucrats that are working against them every day.
Exactly.
So, and that is the deep state. And then you do have to worry about your security apparatus. They've got a lot of power and they've got a lot of technology. And if they're motivated, like we saw by some of these folks in this Miller dossier, if they're motivated to take out the president, there's a lot of damage that they could do.
Well, and, you know, and I think about all the people involved with FreedomWorks, for example, Adam. I mean, people that said, look, they want to serve the country. They want to do something. They want to activate their citizenship. Oh, yeah, I think our founding fathers talked about that. The whole idea that this is a government of, for, by, we, the people, not the elites. You know, they have stepped up and, you know, whether it's been, you know, Tea Party groups, and I look back and I still insist that, you know, what Lois Lerner and the weaponized IRS did to the Tea Party alone. And this is just a microcosm of the problem. Probably affected, Adam, I believe at least six voting cycles by thwarting the efforts of the common man getting involved with their government.
Well, I don't want to depress anyone right now, but what I'd more like to do is just alert people. What is Eric Holder and Barack Obama working on today? Well, we're following them, and they're working on a lot of work on redistricting. So we're here in 2019, and we'll be fighting for 2020 pretty soon here. They're already talking about 2021 and 2022, how they can get into and change redistricting. So even if we have a successful electoral cycle in 2020, they're going to use the courts and redistricting to steal the House back. So you have to be vigilant to these fights. Our founding fathers, when they got there, their vision was you would be a gentleman farmer and you would go serve your time and then step down and go back to the farm. And now
exactly.
We have this professional political class. So the development of the deep state and swamp, they're not surprised.
Exactly. Well, I'm disappointed when we want to celebrate somebody who's been in Congress for 35 years. You know, this is not what our founding fathers, to your point, expected. You know, they expected, you know, the citizen legislator, you know, so that they could go back home and experience the policies that they enacted in Washington, D.C. But no, they carve out all these exceptions, whether it has to do with health care or other issues, insider trading. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, this thing has gotten out of control. But again, the foundation is still there, and the foundation is we the people, and we have to exercise that, right?
I was just about to say the only check on this power is an active citizenry. That's the only check on power and abuse here in Washington. So when you look at things like term limits or taxes, it's that's kind of a good measuring stick to see how we're doing in battling the swamp. And I've always said that the reason it's hard to drain the swamp is it's the deep state that maintains the borders of the swamp to keep the water in here.
Exactly. Well, and the other thing is that people need to understand that it is pervasive. I mean, as soon as the founding fathers said, look, we're going to turn the idea of governance on its head and take the traditional leadership pyramid of having a king or a despot or monarch on top, it is the president of the United States is going to be on the bottom. So at the top of the organizational chart is we the people. As soon as that took place, you had antithetical forces with unleashed power, and they have been rather patient and progressive. and they've turned that pyramid upside down to where it is the ruling class and elites on top. But that was not the intention of our founding fathers. But this is what, as you say, an activated citizenry needs to, number one, be aware of, and number two, to step up just like our founding fathers and put it all on the line, you know, their very lives, their treasures, for the sake, not so much of themselves anymore, but for the sake of our children and our grandchildren and the legacy of a generation yet to be acknowledged, you know, like our previous generation, our fathers, the greatest generation of this country. And maybe we might have that opportunity as well. More from Adam after this.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DV Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay Heating Pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you? Bill Martinez, live.
So hard, breaking the dark.
thinking they might, and we'll see if this country has the courage. Now, knowing what we know today, Adam Brandon, does the country have the courage to face the truth of the Mueller report and really follow through and do what it says? You know, this is that we don't ever want this to happen again. You know, President Trump said to another president. He didn't say to another Republican president. He said to another president. I mean, this is devastating that somebody would, you know, put their everything on the line to even run for the office of the president and to be elected and then to be thwarted and invalidated to the level that this president has gone through and has endured. I mean, 2.5 years. It's almost part of me wants to say, Adam, that we, in all fairness, should give President Trump and the people that elected him 2.5 years extension to the current reign. I mean, could you see the heads on the Democratic side just explode all over the place over that idea?
Well, unfortunately, this is where politics in America is today. I was talking to a congressman who I know I have a lot of respect for, who had one of these ethics violations filed against him in the last election cycle, right before he was reelected. Mm-hmm. And he's had to spend several $100,000 of his own money defending himself. And he's going to be exonerated here soon and all the charges will be gone. But it was an election stunt and they knew that it would get him distracted and also go after himself personally, because who has a few $100,000 to be able to fight off investigators?
Exactly.
And the government has just unbelievable resources. They can grind at you all day long, even if you're innocent.
Yeah, without a doubt. Right.
So these are things that scare me and deter me when I hear young people want to go into elected office. I obviously want to encourage them to do that, but I also want them to go in eyes wide open of how the system works here. And again, you said it, I've said it, it's only sunlight is the only thing that drains the swamp and is the only thing that purifies. When people are watching and people are following and people are voting and they're talking to their friends about what's happening here in D.C. and in their own state capitals, it's the only way to get the swamp under control.
Well, Adam, I know that you were recently encouraged because you just got back from Arizona and you were exposed to Project Arizona, where you get these liberty-loving kids, from all over the world to come in? I mean, liberty-loving kids, I mean, you know, it's one thing to talk about somebody in the United States, but around the world that embrace liberty, and what a golden opportunity for you, and what was the big takeaway for you?
It was so heartening for me, and I'm so glad you asked about that. Project Arizona has nothing to do with FreedomWorks, but I was invited in to speak with their students. And then I did some video interviews with them because their stories were just too incredible. These are kids from places like Nepal, Venezuela, Russia. The Venezuelan student had to flee and was describing to me what it's like, because his friends were getting arrested. The Russian kid, just unbelievable courage. You know, the Putin government's threatening him at home. The Nepalese student, because she posted a video on her Facebook page of her at a gun range, the Nepalese government warned her what might happen to her on her return. I mean, really people with courage to speak. And we had this conversation, and they just couldn't believe it when they talked to Americans, young people, and they heard so many Americans were down on the United States, and they said, are you kidding me? The United States is the greatest country on earth.
Wow.
And then when they heard people starting to wax and poetically about socialism, these kids also, and I think the reason I want to get on video is they're so good at explaining how bad socialism is in their home and how much they need the United States to be a beacon of freedom. But what left me on a positive as I asked them about these conversations, and they said, you know what, even when these kids say they're socialists, you ask them a couple questions and they're not. Their DNA is still very freedom loving. They're just being confused by a lot of their teachers and a lot of the media. But this is your listeners, people, when we talk to our younger folks and let them know about freedom and encourage them to travel and see what's happening in these other countries, it warms your heart because you see the freedom that we have in this country. And yes, we have to battle for it. But wow, our community is so strong. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets me optimistic.
Well, that's exciting. Now, these videos that you produced, are they available to where our listeners can go and check it out?
I think they will be in probably a few weeks, but we just got the raw footage and we want to boil it down. But some of these students, what they're going through, and when you view the United States through their eyes,
wow,
it makes you so proud to be part of this country. It makes you want to fight for it even more.
Oh, that's
this
awesome.
This is an exceptional place, and these kids from around the world were telling us this is an exceptional place, yet too many of our own kids and our families today think that America is a terrible, horrible, racist, sexist place.
Yeah, well, interesting. I can't wait to see that footage, and thank you for sharing that with us. In a recent town hall, Bernie Sanders talking about the wealthy paying their fair share.
Right.
Of course, when asked pointedly, what does that mean? What does fair share mean? He kind of coughed up a hairball. He didn't know what to exactly say.
Yeah, I think it's funny around tax time, this time of year, there was a recent group of, I think they're called these group of millionaires that have come out and basically said that they don't pay enough taxes. Ironically, when we looked in to find who this list of patriotic millionaires are, we can't find their names anywhere.
Right.
But our point is, look, if you don't think you're paying enough taxes, especially after using all your tax lawyers and accountants to get out of paying your taxes, you could just go to, I think it's pay.gov, or we set up a website, payyourfairsharefirst.com.
Right.
And
right.
We invite anyone who thinks they're not paying enough taxes just to go and send a check to Uncle Sam.
Well, exactly, and I think that's a true measure from these talking heads and these aspiring presidential, you know, candidates and wannabes. Is like, okay, put your money where your mouth is. I mean, you know, even when they're talking policies, I'm going, wait a minute, you are in government right now. Why aren't you offering up these solutions? Why is it just happening on the campaign trail? How come your voice is missing, in Congress and on the Beltway? Well, what's going on with that?
I would much rather, if you don't feel you're paying enough in taxes, instead of paying taxes, please invest in a struggling business and give an entrepreneur an opportunity to develop something amazing that we will all benefit from and employ people. Or if you want to donate to charity, please give to a charity that you can actually hold accountable for. I know at FreedomWorks, if we're not doing the work we need to do, our donors and my board will close up shop.
Exactly.
So the government, hey, give us money and keep rolling. I would much rather that money that they think these millionaires should give to the government was given to create jobs or to support charities.
Yeah, and you know, and I hate to point this out, but, when, you know, you looked at these tax returns from Bernie Sanders and even Beto O'Rourke and that, I mean, 1-3% giving, I mean, most people would understand, I think, to give at least 10%. Even Barack Obama, I mean, there wasn't a lot I agreed with Barack Obama, but I think he gave like 22%, I think, which was quite stellar as far as Democrats and especially socialists are concerned. You know, they kind of fall victim of that old Margaret Thatcher saying is that, everything runs well for socialists until they run out of other people's money. They're not about. Go ahead.
One thing I'd say about people of faith that I've always noticed is that they take it as their responsibility to take care of their fellow man and their community. Mm-hmm. And they don't view it as the government's role to take care of the orphan and the abused person in their neighborhood. They take that person's responsibility as their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that, going back to the founding of this country, that's what Alexander de Tocqueville was so amazed about the United States in the 1820s, was how we did take care of the least fortunate among us.
Well, exactly.
When you expect the government to do it, it just doesn't get done, and it alleviates you. You can go and have your Chardonnay and lobster lunch and feel good about yourself because you think that the government's taking care of these other people instead of you taking that own responsibility on your own.
Well, we know the government hasn't done a very good job. I mean, you know, go back to the 30s. I mean, before welfare began, it was the churches, local communities, being the solution. Now here we are. We've got, generational welfare recipients. We've reduced their dignity. Even the war on poverty that LBJ gave us, some $22-23 trillion later, we go from 15% to 15.1%. A bad investment on the surface, Adam, I tell you.
So, terrible.
Well, we'll leave it at that and look forward to our next conversation. Adam Brandon on Bill Martinez Live. Adam, thank you so much. Appreciate the time. Take
care. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
You got it.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee issuing a subpoena now for the full unredacted Mueller report on the Russia investigation. Jerry Nadler says there are numerous unanswered questions despite the reports released to the public yesterday.
The report makes clear that the president refused to be interviewed by the special counsel and refused to provide written answers to follow-up questions.
Meanwhile, the president's begun the morning on Twitter slamming the report, writing in part that it was, quote, an illegally started hoax that never should have happened. Former Vice President Joe Biden may be just a few days away from announcing his campaign for the White House. A report in The Atlantic quotes sources close to Biden as saying he'll make a video announcement of his run next Wednesday. The 76-year-old would be joining 19 other candidates for the Democratic nomination. And this is USA Radio News.
Pros know doing it right means getting more bang for your buck, because putting more toward your bottom line is good for business. Lowe's does it right with savings on the brands you trust. Come in now during our Stock the Shop event and save up to 25% off select tools and accessories from DeWalt, Irwin, Bostitch, and more. Like $40 off a Bostitch 16-gauge finished nail gun now for just $139. For your next job and the next, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 4/21. See store for details. U.S. only.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
When that happens, don't you? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Hey, just a reminder here, if you'd like free tickets to the movie Breakthrough, along with the book that inspired the movie, that will be available as well. All you got to do is drop me an email, bill at billmartinezlive.com. We've got a plethora of tickets and books to give away, or special gift packs. And to participate, drop me an email, bill at billmartinezlive.com. We put it in the hopper. That's how it works. Put it in the hopper, pull your name out, make sure your address is there so we know where to send the books. The tickets will be given to you, sent to your email electronically. So get your request in right away so we can start pulling names. And free tickets and a free movie on us here at Bill Martinez Live, our gift to you, because, as we say, we are givers. John Daniel Davidson joins us now, senior correspondent at The Federalist. His writings have appeared in The Wall Street Journal, National Review, Texas Monthly. You go on down the list. He knows what he's talking about. In fact, when it comes to, you know, what's happening at the border crisis, one of the few that's actually gone to the border to see firsthand exactly what's going on. And he reinforces what we've been talking about for a long time. And that is that really, you know, what has happened at the border is really what we might call a HR opportunity for all the bad players, not only in Mexico, but here in this country as well. When we talk about opioids and we talk about human trafficking, we talk about gangs, go on down the list here. There's not a whole lot of good, a lot of bad involved here. And John Daniel Davidson can tell us firsthand from his experience in McAllen, Texas. John, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's break it down here. You gave a report to Congress saying here's what you observed there in McAllen. Tell our audience.
Yeah, essentially the point I was trying to get across is that we do have a crisis on the border, and it's a crisis that has been caused by congressional inaction. You have a large number of families coming from Central America who are arriving at the border with children and claiming asylum and taking advantage of the details of our asylum system to be able to gain entry into the United States. All they have to do is pass a credible fear test, which is a very low threshold to pass. And then they're allowed to come into the country pending their immigration hearing, their asylum hearing. And that can take 2 or 3 years. In the meantime, they're issued temporary work permits and free to go wherever it is that they're going. And a lot of these people will tell you that they're coming here to work and send money home to the rest of their family that's back in Central America. They are know what to say to get the credible fear threshold passed, but they are very open about the fact that their motivation for coming here in a lot of cases is economic. That's not to say that they don't face hardships back home, but very few of these people actually are ever granted asylum.
And of course, let's start from the beginning, and that is when they leave their home country. According to international law, their first stop is to be a neighboring country, not 1,500 miles of treacherous land to get to the United States. Isn't that correct?
That's right. That's right. And you know, some of them do stay in Mexico. You know, some of them that set out from Central America end up staying in Mexico, getting some sort of a humanitarian visa and finding work there. But as we know, many others, thousands and thousands a month now, are making their way all the way up to the U.S.-Mexico border, and they're doing so by paying smuggling networks that are transiting them through Mexico for a price, you know, anywhere from $2,000 to $7,000 per person. And then that price includes paying off cartels that control swaths of the border region in northern Mexico. Nobody crosses the Rio Grande without paying the cartels. So this is a fairly well-organized industry that is making a lot of money off of moving people from Central America into the United States.
And how do these immigrants feel? Because, you know, here they are, they've been taken advantage of in many cases, which is kind of the tradition. You know, when you look back when people are oppressed, it first starts with their own people, their own kind, if you can say, you know, that take advantage of them. So how do they feel, you know, coming here to America? They've been trained, as you say, what to say so, you know, they can meet the low threshold. You know, what is their response, their guttural response about America and the process that they've gone through?
Well, look, a lot of them are very relieved when they get here because they have been through a harrowing experience, some of them. Others have had a pretty easy go of it. They you know, pay the right people, and they're transited by bus. Sometimes the trip from Central America to the southern border only takes, you know, 4 or 5 days, and they arrive in pretty good shape. And that's the case for a lot of these groups that are showing up in El Paso, for instance. Others are showing up in very remote areas of New Mexico, and they're in very rough shape. And they're some of them are not in good health. They've had instances where several children have died shortly after coming into Border Patrol custody. That was late last year, after having spent days in the desert. So, you know, it's a dangerous proposition for these people. They are putting everything, all of their resources, they're pawning their houses, going into debt to be able to pay the smugglers and the cartels to come here. And they're doing that because they know with a good level of certainty that they're going to be able to get in. They wouldn't be doing that if they heard back from their friends and relatives that have gone ahead of them and said, no, don't do it. Unless you have a valid asylum claim, they're not going to let you in.
Exactly.
They're pretty certain they're going to get in. Yeah.
Well, and you think about the, you know, you mentioned harrowing ordeal that some of these people are subjected to, and we hear stories of these young girls, parents giving them birth control pills before they start out on the trek, saying, chances are you're going to get raped, you better take these. I mean, how does a father do that? I mean, knowing the Hispanic culture the way I do, having been raised in it, I mean, the desperation level has to be so high that you would subject your very daughter to this kind of to this kind of exposure.
Absolutely. I think we have to understand that the societies these people are coming from, the countries in Central America, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala primarily, are essentially failed states in some areas. And it's partly the result of a policy of benign neglect on the part of the United States. We can't just let these countries fester and crumble and not expect that eventually the problems there are going to, trigger some sort of a crisis like that. Mm-hmm. We need to pay attention to the long-term causes of migration, not just the immediate problems that we have at the border. That said, we do have an immediate problem at the border with people claiming asylum who don't have valid asylum claims, and smugglers and cartels have figured out how to turn it into a business. And so it's a big problem right now that Congress seems unwilling to acknowledge or do anything about.
Well, John, to your point, this was brought up earlier, that people are satisfied to throw money at the problem and say, okay, that takes care of it, but they're not holding it accountable. They're not, they're not following up to say, okay, where is that money going? How is that servicing the community? And clearly, like you say, there has been such neglect that we've got failed governments, and it's no wonder that this is the fruit of it all. But, you say, okay, where are the bureaucrats? I mean, they have been spending and investing the people's money into these countries, and this is what we get. We get mass migration coming into our country, and, some people who are ignorant of that will, talking heads on some of these TV networks. It's shocking to me. They go, well, we need to give them money. Well, we've been giving them money. I mean, it's like they're not aware that we have already, we've been very helpful, but yet, only to a point, not to an entire point, to where we're holding that money accountable.
That's right. There's a staggering amount of corruption in these Central American countries, and a lot of the money that we do spend there just lines the pockets of corrupt public officials. And this has been going on for quite some time, as you say. And I'm not saying that there's any easy solutions here or that there's any quick solutions. We need to completely reorient our approach to aid in Central America. We need to start thinking about the immigration crisis and the border crisis as a foreign policy problem, not just a problem of U.S. aid or a domestic problem about how we process asylum seekers. We've got to start thinking about it in a holistic foreign policy way. And we also have to start looking more closely at our asylum system and our immigration system. We have a Cold War era asylum system that was designed for post-World War II and Cold War era conditions. It's not applicable today. In the same vein, we have an immigration system that hasn't been overhauled since 1963. Mm-hmm. So, we are way behind the ball here, and we've got to start taking the problem seriously.
This message is sponsored by Ameriglide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple two-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez, live.
It's Good Friday and Passover all across the world. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. This portion of the show being brought to you by my friends at Crypto Profit. It's the latest paradigm shift that will produce the next wealth wave. You can find out more at BillMartinezLive.com. Click on the Crypto Profit banner. See if this works for you and your family. Our conversation continues with John Daniel Davidson, talking about the border crisis. John is the senior correspondent at The Federalist. John, I wanted you to relate the story to our audience about Sister Norma and what you ran across when you were there in McAllen.
Yeah, Sister Norma runs the respite center in McAllen that's connected to the Diocese of Brownsville. And about a year ago, I went down there and visited. And at that time, the migrant crisis was nowhere near what it is now. But even then, I was surprised they were receiving between 60 and 120 people a day were being discharged from ICE and dropped off at the Greyhound bus station. The Greyhound station employees would call the volunteers at the respite center, and they would go over there in vans, pick them up and bring them in, give the kids something to eat, and try to get the parents bus tickets that night, later that night, to be on their way, because there wasn't anywhere for them to stay at the respite center. It was just kind of a rundown commercial building.
Mm-hmm. Be on their way. You say be on their way. Be on their way where?
To all points in the United States. All these people were going different corners of the country, coast to coast, north and south. They were connecting with friends and family. Some of them were going to places where they already had jobs lined up. And they were trying to get bus tickets because they didn't have any money. And so the people at the respite center are trying to get them bus tickets to get them moving, because the next day, 120 more people were going to come. Well, fast forward a year, right now, the respite center in McAllen has moved to a new location, a former nursing home, where they're receiving between 800 and 1,000 people a day.
Oh, wow.
A couple weeks ago, they received 1,300 people. And so the mayor of McAllen is warning, is trying to draw attention to the plight. He said, we can't continue this. We're going to have thousands of people just wandering the streets, sleeping on park benches. We're being overwhelmed. It's not a big place. It's a town of about 150,000 people.
Mm. where's Congress on this, John? I mean, do we need to, you know, have Congress meet at the border? And maybe if they're around it on a constant basis, they might understand, because they were in total denial. I mean, I saw the hearing with then Secretary Nielsen talking about the facts at the border, and you had Leader Pelosi saying, I don't want to hear your facts.
Yeah, no, this is a huge problem. The Democrats especially are allergic to facing the problem and seeing it for what it is. It's not just McAllen. All up and down the Texas border, you're seeing this. There's a tiny town of 290 people in called Quemado, Texas. They had a group of 90 people show up in that town. So, you know, if you can imagine the logistical problems this causes in small communities where you have large family groups show up, Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection don't have the resources to deal with this. And they've been saying that over and over again, asking Congress to help, asking them to do something. And so far, there's not the political will, because for the most part, we view immigration as a proxy for other culture war issues in this country, and we're not willing to face the problem. We haven't been for decades.
Yeah. Well, maybe they need the share experience, you know. Like I said, we'll bring Congress to the border, and they can experience it firsthand. I mean, you know, just think about this. You know, common sense would tell you, John, that if a city, for example, the size that you're talking about, you know, roughly, let's just round it and say 300 people, the infrastructure, everything is to operate and support 300 people, and all of a sudden now suddenly you have 500 people, what does that do to the infrastructure of that specific city? I mean, we're talking small scale, but, you know, as you say, this goes up and down the border towns that they're experiencing this, and all for the sake, as you say, because it's been so politicized and people are focused because Donald Trump made it part of his campaign and talks about a wall, that they think it's about that four-letter word, a wall, instead of, proper updated immigration policy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of the attention goes to these images of families being held behind chain link fences. You know, they had the temporary, spot in El Paso underneath the bridge where they were trying to hold and process families. And a lot of people on the left got upset about that, said, oh, we're keeping these people in cages. That they're doing that because they don't have any choice. There's no room left in their facilities, and they can't simply, you know, release these people without trying to figure out who they are, whether or not the family units are true family units. They've found over 3,000 family units that were false families, that were, you know, an adult with a child that wasn't their own,
right,
trying to claim asylum. So there's a responsibility there to have some law and order and some process by which we try to figure out who these people are and if they have criminal backgrounds and what have you. There's no room left in these facilities all up and down the border. And so you have very dangerous situations developing where, you know, a group of 300 people are turning themselves into a handful of Border Patrol agents in remote areas where there's no transportation. It's in the middle of the night. You know, what is Border Patrol supposed to do in this situation?
Exactly.
The crisis is going to get worse before it gets better. And in the meantime, you know, Congress is not taking it seriously.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is that you've got, like, as you mentioned, the people that come into the country, and not through one of the 48, I think we have 48 legal entry points where they can come in legally. But in a sense, they jump the line by going through these other areas and surrendering to Border Patrol. And of course, Donald Trump, being the businessman as he is, and most business people would say, okay, let's come up with a solution. He comes up with one, and of course that immediately offends somebody. And then we get an activist judge saying, oh, no, you know, if people break the law at the border, you can't just send them back without due process. But what they don't understand is that when somebody, you know, jumps the line like that, and they break the law by coming in instead of one of the 48 legal entry points, it messes up the system. I mean, we got enough problems processing the people coming in, you know, through these 48 legal checkpoints. And now if they come out, what kind of havoc does that create, John?
Yeah, well, the point here is that the system isn't set up to deal with this. So coming through one of the legal ports of entry is difficult for a lot of these people because Customs and Border Protection is using a policy called metering, where they're only letting certain numbers of people come through the ports of entry each day. And so you end up with these images of people sleeping on the bridges. But the reason for that, one of the reasons for that is because the facilities at the ports of entry, and I've written about this as well, they're not really set up to receive large numbers of asylum seekers at the ports of entry. The ports of entry essentially are places for commerce to go back and forth over the border and for foot traffic for people with a certain kind of identification cards to be able to go back and forth to shop and conduct their business and go to school and whatnot. And there's thousands and thousands in Laredo, 10,000 people come across by foot and go back to Mexico every day. Mm-hmm. But those facilities are not designed to be able to process asylum seekers. The room for processing asylum seekers at the Laredo Port of Entry, which is the second largest commercial port of entry in the country by volume after the Port of Los Angeles, is a room that could hold maybe two dozen people.
Oh, wow.
So people don't realize that we are dealing with a situation. None of our infrastructure, none of our laws, none of our policies are set up or designed to deal with what's happening right now. And it's hard to blame the migrants themselves. They're being sold a service by smugglers saying, look, if you pay us this money, we'll bus you up to the border and we'll tell you when to cross. Here's what you tell the Border Patrol agents when they pick you up. They don't know the finer points of U.S. immigration and asylum law. They just know what they're being told, and they've heard from their friends and family that it works and they can get out of the situation they're in and get to America where they can work and make some money.
And you can't blame them for doing that.
That's right. That's right.
Right. Exactly. So how do we get Congress to be serious? I mean, I said, look, let's move Congress right there to the border, firsthand, and let them be subjected and let these immigrants come through their offices, what President Trump said. Look at these sanctuary cities. We'll just send these immigrants to the sanctuary cities. And of course you had Cher coming back, who a year earlier said, hey, we should take everybody should put them up into their house, everybody take a family or two. And then she a year later, I guess she got some new religion and says, oh no, that's not going to work. Well, there's no room. We got enough problems of our own here in the city, much less trying to take on some more immigrants.
Yeah, I think the sanctuary cities line from the president sort of more rhetorical than serious. The fact is, and the Washington Post did a pretty interesting report on this, most of the places where these immigrants go, are large cities already. When you look across the country, the destinations for people coming into the country are the large cities, the coast, some of the large cities in the South. I don't think that's a real solution. I understand rhetorically the president is trying to drive home the point, how do we get Democrats especially to wake up to the fact that there's a problem and get them serious about wanting to start reforming some of our immigration laws, some of our asylum laws, and really tackle this problem for what it is.
Well, that remains a question, does it not? I mean, and really the people have to get activated and start calling their congressmen to say, look at, let's take care of this business. This has gone on long enough.
That's absolutely right.
Well, John Daniel Davidson has been our guest. John, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. John's a senior correspondent at The Federalist. That is a wrap for us. Have yourself a very holy and awesome Easter weekend, and we'll see you next Monday right here on the SDG Radio Network.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Bacon lovers.